And rather than, as I said earlier, rather than the specifics of A, B, C, D, and E, and you checked off your list, and you say, okay, I've been seeking God. As I've talked about in the other parts of this, it's more of sharing principles. Because how it looks in your life may not be the same as the way it looks in mine. But the results ought to be the same or similar. As we talked about at the very beginning, the directions to the camp from your house won't look like the directions to the camp from my house. At least not at the beginning. But as you get nearer to the destination, they ought to become a lot more similar because the destination is the same. And as we consider how we seek God, I can go out and sit in the middle of the woods for hours in just silence. And just talking to God in prayer and communication. And there are people that I could take with me and say, I'm going to sit here, you go there. It'd be kind of like Jesus and the disciples at the night of the arrest. I'd come over and they'd be sleeping because it's not the way they seek God. To sit for an hour in silence in the middle of nature would frighten some people. And so to say that's how you have to do it would be kind of a ridiculous thing. But to say that there ought to be a time of silence is a principle. What is it in your life that you need to still? Again, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Sometimes that stillness is activity. I can't seek God because I'm just so busy. Sometimes that stillness is sound. There's just so much noise in life. Sometimes that stillness is outside influence. There have been various times in my life, some by choice, some by the non-functioning equipment, that I've gone for periods of time without television. And I think the first time it was the television quit and I didn't have a means to replace it. And so it really wasn't intentional, but in the process I realized how beneficial that was. And there are times where, for me, this is a really hard one because I use social media so much in the prayer ministry and communicating with people and putting prayer resources and stuff out there. But I just have to step back from the onslaught that social media presents itself. And so there's many things that we need to be still from. And some of those things will overlap, and some of those things are unique to what distracts us the most. Back to the Deuteronomy passage I read earlier, it says, from wherever you are, you will seek God and you will find Him when you seek Him with a whole heart. And it's that concept that how much do I desire for God to be in my life? We live in a culture where we've been trained to expect things to be easier than what they are. I was going to say we're trained to expect things to be easy, but we realize that there aren't. We expect them to be easier than what they are. And it's so easy to quit, to just give up when things get too hard. Because there's always something else. And sometimes our seeking of God is that same fashion. It's harder than we expected it to be. We get to a point where we've sought God, we've built that relationship, and then we're convicted of whatever that next step looks like. And we say, I don't think I want to do that. I'm comfortable where I'm at. And I think that's when God kind of whispers in our ear, but what about that wholehearted thing that I talked to you about earlier? You see, when we realize the God we seek has the greatest value of anything or anyone that we could ever know, when we realize His desire is that we would find Him wherever we are, we sometimes stumble over that wholehearted seeking. Because those first two make it kind of sound easy. If He's that valuable, if He's present everywhere, then I ought to be able to just have a casual relationship with God. It might be why that the passage about Jesus overturning the tables in the temple kind of snuck in on me. Because God describes Himself as a very jealous God. And I have to stop and think, if He is as valuable as we claim He is, why do I find myself wanting something else so often? I see different things on social media. They talk of, if you had to live in this cabin in the woods for a year with no internet, no electricity, whatever, and they'd give you $1 million at the end, would you do it? I'm like, well, yeah. You could just give me the cabin and I would live there and I'd be happy. I mean, $1 million is kind of a bonus, but just leave me in the cabin and undisturbed. I mean, and yet, if I could just live daily in the presence of God, why would I choose to live anywhere else? But I do. We've looked at His presence is with us wherever. There's nowhere we can hide from His presence, and yet my choices don't always reflect that. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It talks about seeking Him and rejoicing. The central part of chapter 16 is a psalm of David, a song that he wrote and they would sing to praise God as they bring the ark into the tent. And he says in verse 10, "Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And at their point, and this point in the history of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant really did represent that very presence of God. And as that Ark returns and is placed where it belongs, David David writes this psalm of let everyone who seeks God rejoice because His presence is with us. And we know through scriptures that God's told us that the new tabernacle, the new dwelling place of God is within the hearts of mankind. The hearts of those who seek Him, who are His children. If God has chosen to dwell within us, and dwell among us, we ought to seek Him with rejoicing. Because He is with us. And so many times we think about seeking God and it becomes a chore. It's one of the reasons I say, I'm not going to give you a list of things that you do this, 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 and this, and that's the process of seeking God. For me, that becomes a chore. I don't know about you, but if somebody gives me a list of things I have to do, well, my mind says I have to do them. And it doesn't become about the accomplishment of it. It becomes about the chore of getting it done. And seeking God ought to be a reason for rejoicing. Not something we're checking off a list and says, okay, did that, did that, did that. Psalm 9:10. David writes, in chapter 9, verse 10. I love the book of Psalms because David is so human. You rarely doubt what's going on in his heart and his mind as he writes. He's pretty open. Whether it's joy, whether it's struggle, whether it's pain, whether it's grief, he kind of opens up his life to God and by doing so to us. In verse 10 of Psalm 9, it says, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. As I looked at that and I thought about this, how do I seek God? I thought, you know, I have to seek Him with trust and with expectation. I trust that my seeking of God will result in finding Him. I expect that I won't come up empty. There's things in my life that I've wanted that I've really not pursued because I just never believed I could do it. And I think some people back away from seeking God because they're just not sure they can find Him. And Scripture teaches that if we seek Him, He will be found. And so we seek Him with a trust and an expectation that not only will He be found, but what we find will be to our benefit as His child. When I was in high school, and probably started before high school, but grew up on a farm and was always driven as a young person, as many are, by a pursuit of money, of wealth. And I couldn't tell you how many different projects on the farm that in my mind were going to earn me my first $1 million. Still haven't done that. But every one of them, I would reach a point where it would be obvious it wasn't going to happen. And I'd just give up. One of my projects was growing horseradish, and ordered a big, huge box full of horseradish roots and planted them one year. I think mom and dad are still trying to get rid of that because the roots just keep growing. And they grew well. It was just this incredible field of horseradish. But then came the problem of processing it, and I realized this isn't pleasant. And I was, as I was grinding horseradish, and I'd gotten a recipe somewhere for making this incredible horseradish sauce, and the people that tried it just loved it. But I mean, it was worse than chopping onions. And this stuff would burn my hands. It would burn my eyes. It was just terrible. And I said, that's not even worth $1 million. And so I went on to whatever was next. And I think sometimes when we get into those hard parts of life, we need reminded that the God we seek can be trusted. And we can expect Him to work it out for our good. And so that we don't give up. New Testament teaches us that we should not become weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap a harvest. There's an ending to that verse. It says if we do not give up. And so as we seek God, are we doing so expecting Him to be found? It's one of the things I would always tell the campers at the end of the Capture the Flag game. I says, this is to teach a lesson, but there's a part of it that isn't accurate. I did everything in my power not to be caught. If you chase after God with the intensity that you chased after me, He's doing everything in His power to be caught. And you can be assured that when you seek Him with a whole heart, He will be found. Isaiah 55:6 is kind of a sobering verse in some fashion. When you really think about the how you seek. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. I don't know about you, but I read that and my first thought is, that's good. But then my mind has this tendency to kind of run on its own sometimes, and it's you know, hard to find that shift lever to put it into neutral. But my mind starts thinking, while He may be found, does that mean there's a time that He won't be found? While He is near, does that mean the time that He won't be near? Well, if we read Scripture as a whole, we realize that there will come a day that Christ returns, that judgment will take place. And all time of work, all time of seeking Him is done. And so, in one fashion, it's a timely verse in that you don't know what tomorrow brings. So many times we hear of people, and particularly those in ministry, hear of people that they've heard of God, they've heard of the benefits, the joy of being a child of God, but there's still part of their life that they don't want to surrender to God. And they'll say something to the effect that when I'm older, when I'm done having fun, as if whatever they're doing is somehow more fun than following God, I'll seek out this God. But what if getting older never comes? You see, how we seek God is in whatever moment he gives us. While he may be found, it's not that there's a time where he's going to say, I'm done with you. At least not as you walk this earth. But there is a time coming when he says it's complete. When Jesus entered the earth as a baby, Scripture describes it as happening in the fullness of time. Some translations will say, in just the right time, God sent his Son. And I believe Scripture teaches that it's that same terminology when Jesus returns again. In the fullness of time, at just the right time. Now he says it's a time that even he doesn't know. The Father says, I've got that date set, but I'm not telling. But it will be the right time. You see, we seek God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Bible promises that he will be found. If I casually look for something, I may or may not find it. How much I continue to look for that will depend on how much I really want it. God's desire is that we would seek him with a whole heart. And when I go out mushroom hunting and I'll look every once in a while, I won't find any. And I probably won't go back. I just don't know where to look. But it's not that important to me. The last couple years, the winters have been, a year ago was better than this past winter, but the snowy owls have been coming down from the Arctic, and such a beautiful creature to photograph. And I'd go out looking, and I may not find them, but I wanted to photograph them. And so I didn't stop with not finding them. I would do some research online. I would find places where people would talk about seeing them. I would follow different birding sites. And sure enough, with the help of others, I could find a number of them and get photos. But I kept at it because I knew it was possible. I'd seen photos others had taken in the area. I knew they weren't far away. They just weren't where I was looking to begin with. And I wanted it. And sometimes we look at people around us and we see what we perceive to be this great relationship with God, and we think, boy, I would really like to be like that. And it doesn't happen. And I think part of that wholehearted seeking is going to that person and saying, what's different? Describe your relationship with God. How have you gotten to where you've gotten? To research, to find out what's missing. For me, it usually comes down it's fascinating that people often, well, you lead a prayer ministry, of course you're close to God, of course you spend all this time with God. Well, I try to, but there's days and weeks that I get so distracted and busy, I'm not a whole lot different than anyone else. for me, it's usually a matter of coming back to giving up something so that that time can be spent with God. I don't have any more hours to the day than what you do. I don't know if you realize that, but God doesn't give some of us 28 hours and some 14 hours and some... We've all got the same time. The question is, how are we divvying it up? Get asked often about the photos. You know, how do you find time to take these? Well, some of them are maybe 15 minutes from home, and I don't turn the TV on in the evening. I go out and look for wildlife. It's about the priorities. Well, the same's true in our prayer life, in our scripture reading, in our time just sitting with God. What do I have to turn off so that I can spend time with God in a greater way? And sometimes those decisions, our life is so full that those decisions are hard. As we begin that pursuit of God, at least in my experience, there's things that were easy to see that, yeah, this really has no value. I can give that up and spend time with God, and I'm better all the way around. But as time progresses and life happens, all of a sudden some of those decisions are hard, because that's a good thing. I don't know that I want to give that up, but I know I want to seek God in a greater way. And so it's kind of, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of part of my battle with social media. It helps me to spread teaching faster than I could any other way. But if I don't guard that, it sucks my time so fast that instead of being helpful, it becomes hurtful. And so there are things in our life that we have to pay attention to if we really want to seek God with a whole heart. This morning, my hope and my prayer was to be able to just walk with you, and through my words, perhaps share some of my journey into seeking God with a whole heart. And many times that next step comes out of struggle. Have a check engine light that's on in my truck. There's a couple things that I could do with that. I could ignore it, or I could have it looked at. Did a little bit of research, and the code that it presents when you plug it into the computer scanner says there's two options. One, it's a faulty sensor, and it's just throwing up a check engine light because the sensor's bad. Nothing wrong, just the sensor itself is not working like it should. So, no big issue. Two, it's a timing chain issue that could be a very serious problem and a very expensive problem. I don't have enough knowledge to know the difference. So I'm left with a dilemma. One, I could just say, oh, I bet it's just a faulty sensor and no problem. I'll just keep driving. Nothing wrong. Well, that's good if that is true. Not so good if it isn't true. The other side is I could say it's a bad sensor. Tear the whole thing apart, replace what needs replaced, repair the actual issue, and be confident that it should work. But until somebody that knows what they're doing looks at that, I won't know. And I think sometimes we go through these struggles, and the struggles that we go through are kind of like that check engine light. We don't know why they're there. We just know they're there. And initially we think, well, it could be nothing. It just could just be life. I mean, life is a struggle. Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. And so some of our struggles are just a part of living. But at least in my experience, those struggles could be God trying to get my attention. It's more than just a part of life. It's God saying, pay attention, I've got a lesson for you. And the longer you ignore it, the more expensive it's going to be to fix it. But just like the check engine light on my truck, until I decide to sit down with the one that knows, I'm just guessing. And when these struggles in life, whether it's just a part of life or whether it's God getting my attention, until I sit down with Him, I'm just guessing at what it's about. So my encouragement this morning is to wherever you're at in this journey of seeking God, make time to sit with Him and His Word. And if you don't do that on a regular basis, start with something. Even if it's 5 minutes a week, 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes every hour. Start with something. And I believe, based on experience and the conversations with others, when you start, you'll find that time span growing. Because you can't imagine stopping. You'll realize whatever time you set isn't enough. Set up prayer rooms at different times at Deer Run and at other churches as well, and encourage blocks of time for 24-hour prayer or longer, where we'll sign people up to come and pray for an hour. And across the board, wherever I'm at, the first response from the vast majority of people is, I can't pray for an hour. What am I going to do for an hour? And I've got prayer guides. I've got resources. I help break the hour down. I says, we'll do what we can to give you the resources to make that possible. The number one response from people leaving the building, the prayer room, the area after that hour is, I didn't have enough time. And I think when we commit to spending time seeking God, we're going to grow in that automatically, because we can't imagine not spending even more time. Even committing 5 minutes a day, it won't be long before we'll be stretching that 5 minutes, because it just isn't enough. And I hope and pray that today has been an encouragement wherever you are in that process of seeking God, to not only continue that journey, but to do it in a way that encourages others. I'm here not so much because I'm an expert, but because I believe that by sharing my story, it helps others realize that they too can seek God from wherever they are. I want to close get wrapped up by noon, as I promised. I'll just encourage you. If you have time when we're done here, to spend time out praying, I'm guessing Troy and crew won't run you off if you want to pray here on the grounds for a little bit. One thing you can be praying about, not only seeking God, tomorrow is the camp's launch. So their big kind of kickoff open house event tomorrow afternoon. Somebody asked earlier, but I think it's from 4 to 7 or starts at 4 if I remember right. But that takes place here. Next month, June 8th, a Saturday morning, is a camp prayer breakfast. And I've been asked to speak at that as well. And that morning will focus specifically on praying for the camp. And we'll be praying for the summer staff, the camp staff, the programming throughout the summer. I believe that starts at 8:30 on June 8th. That one I'll look at. I call it the you know, as we think about the camp context, the greatest camp out in the Bible. And that's that 40 years of camping that the Israelites did in the wilderness, as we learn some lessons about praying for camp. And so that would be June 8th. Again, be watching for information for the late summer, fall, for another gathering similar to this. If you have input, would like to be part of helping to plan that, talk to Mr. Tony Anderson there. And I appreciate his lead on this in drawing a number of us together to say we need to up the level of prayer in the region. And any questions real quick before I pray?